got everybody going. Logan, great job. Logan and the Loganites. I like that, man. Good. It's rocking it. I didn't want to stop singing, did y'all? Good. Well, I'm Travis Modrell. I'm the adult minister here at Walnut Ridge. It's down 360 right before you get to Broad, and that's where I serve. I met Heath when our sons played basketball together in Mansfield. So that's kind of my connection, and I didn't realize he knew my pastor. And one day, Heath comes walking through our office. I'm like, Heath! And I hadn't seen him in a while. In fact, I saw him the day before he ended up going to the hospital. And the pastor asked me, "Would you mind filling in for Heath?" I said, "No problem." And I walked in today, and I asked people, "How you doing?" And they gave me that look like, "Well, I'll let you know after the Cowboy game today." All right? Like, I don't know how the Cowboys are going to do, but I can tell you my fantasy team needs a whole lot of prayer. They need the laying of the hands without Romo and Dez, I'll tell you. All right? I met some people this morning. Such a friendly church. Everybody's been so gracious, smiled. I met Pat and Coco. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. They got me this morning, I'll tell you. Great smiles. They call themselves Double Trouble. I said, I believe that. I came over on Thursday, I guess it was. They told me the emphasis is on missions. So I met Rhonda. And Rhonda had the disadvantage of not knowing my personality. So she was right away at a disadvantage when I came over here. She gave me a little tour. Beautiful church. First time I've been in it. She gave me a little tour. And we got up here and she was explaining how the chairs are. And she's explaining traditional service and the contemporary service and what it's going to look like. And I said, "Okay, Rhonda." I said, I got a question I need to ask you. I want to run it by you and make sure it's okay. She goes, "Yeah, what is it, Travis?" And I said, "Your emphasis is on missions this week, right?" And she goes, yeah, just something to do on missions. And I said, "Well, Rhonda, I had just recently, with my church, gone to Africa on a mission trip. And when I came back, I had bought one of those python snakes. And I said, I brought it back home, and I have this great sermon illustration where I take the python and I pass it through the congregation, and the illustration is out of this world." I look over at Rhonda and she's like this. And I said, "Do you think that would be okay? My background is in acting, okay? Do you think that would be okay, Rhonda? A live snake?" "Yeah. Would that be okay to pass it through the audience?" "I'm just kidding, Rhonda. I'm just kidding." And she let out a sigh of relief. She goes, "Travis, I was going to tell you you can do it, but me and most of the congregation are going to be outside in the woods out there. So don't worry. I'm not going to pass a snake around today, okay? Amen?" Amen. All right. Well, we are going to speak about missions. But before we do that, let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to come here and fill in for Heath. What a great man. We just ask that you continue to heal him so he can get back up here, Father. I just ask that you speak through me today, Father. Just use me that you may tell the congregation your words that you have for them today, Father, in the area of missions. We give all glory and honor to your name. Amen. How many of you, at one time or another, been called to the ministry or been called to missions? All right, good. A few of you. We'll come back to that question. We're going to be in John 20, 21 to start, and then we'll follow in Matthew. John 20, 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." God could have made his son to be anything he wanted to, correct? But he made him a missionary. He took him from his home in heaven and sent him to this foreign land called Earth so people would repent and accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So once we have accepted Christ in our hearts, what is the mission? Many of you are familiar with this out of Matthew, the Great Commission. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you." Very important here in 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Acts 1:8 puts it like this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Go and make disciples of all nations. The Holy Spirit is with you. Our mission is pretty clear. For the Christians in the room, you're a Christian because another Christian took this mission, seek and save others, very seriously. Whether it was a preacher, whether it was a teacher, whether it was a family member, I may leave it right there, Jason. Aren't you glad that individual took the mission seriously? So you were accepted. Amen. Amen. Mine was Pastor Jenkins in Katy, Texas. I was 11 years old. Pastor Jenkins was a short man, almost could have been a hobbit, I think. Maybe he was, I don't know. But whenever he'd get excited and he'd start speaking, he'd get up on his tippy toes, man. He went from 4'5 to about 6'5, you know. He just got everybody's attention. Just a dynamic man. And he preached a sermon. I don't remember the gist of it. I was 11 years old. I knew I needed to go speak with him that week. Something he'd said, something God had put on my heart. I met in his office. He pulled out a chalkboard. And he showed me heaven and hell. And he said, "Here's where you go without Jesus. Here's where you go with him. Let me tell you what he did for you. He spread out his arms. He took a pain. He took a beating for you." And I realized right there at 11 years old, there's nothing I'm going to do to get myself to heaven. Only through Jesus am I going to get there. And I thank God for Pastor Jenkins. Without his message, I don't know that I would be here today before you. And many of you have stories just like that. Once you accept Christ, your goals are gone. Because when you accept Christ, you throw off the flesh and you take God's Spirit in you. Flesh is put down. And you got to keep it down. But your goals are gone. Your personal goals are out the window. Or they should be. It's thine will now, not my will. And the number one goal of thine will is to win souls. To teach the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you taking this mission seriously? This is very serious. In fact, you have to be as serious as the fishermen who kept winning all the bass tournaments. First tournament came along, the game ward started counting fish. This one had a little, this one had a little, this one had a little, this one had a whole lot. Next tournament rolled around. Game warden, same thing. Little bit of fish, little bit of fish, little bit. This guy has a ton of fish. "Something's not right here," said the game warden. "I'm going to ride with this guy on the next tournament and see what he's doing." He gets in the boat. The next tournament rolls around. They ride out in the water. Fisherman grabs a stick of dynamite, takes it, lights it, throws it in the water. All the fish come up. He gathers them all, throws them in the boat. Game warden goes, "Hold on. That is illegal. I never want to see that again." Fisherman's like, "Okay," takes him to the next spot. Pulls out the dynamite, lights it, throws it in the water. Boom! Game warden is beside himself. "I just told you I never want to see you do that again, or I'm turning you in." Fisherman said, "Fine." Goes on to the next spot. Fisherman lights the dynamite, hands it to the game warden, and says, "Are you going to turn me in or are you going to fish?" Don't you know the game warden got real serious real quick about fishing? We got to get serious about winning people to Christ. We are fishers of men. Do you remember Paul? Of course we do. one of the greatest men in the Bible. Some consider the greatest missionary in all the Bible, next to Christ. You remember his travels and his three missionary journeys, recorded much in Acts. He traveled much of the known world, helping to establish churches. He and Barnabas were sent from the church in Antioch, north of Israel, as missionaries. Their first journey took them to the Isle of Crete and then into present-day Turkey. During Paul's second missionary journey, Barnabas did not join Paul. They had a disagreement, and they were split into two teams. You remember that? We had two teams go out. And they went to, Paul ended up traveling with Silas, and they went to Asia Minor, which is Turkey, and over into Eastern Europe. Then on the third missionary journey, Paul was sent into Western Turkey and Greece, into Eastern Europe. And the majority of the cities that Paul visited were in major trade routes. So he's spreading the gospel of Christ, and when these people heard it, they would get on these trade routes and they'd go spread it, so it was multiplied. Now, how did Paul start out? This is a man who laughed at the stoning of Stephen. This is a man whose greatest joy was persecuting and killing Christians. And oh, don't you know, God got a hold of him on the road to Damascus. And he took the mission serious. From that day forward, Paul preached the gospel. Anywhere and everywhere he could, under any circumstances, he was carrying out the mission. Have you tried this mission out? I, like most of you, have experienced many great things in this life. Many of you have won awards that made you feel good. Many of you have gotten jobs that was right in your wheelhouse, and you were so excited to get this job. You got promotions, you got raises. Many of you have been in a wedding ceremony with your spouse on that special day when two become one and you're bonded together for life. Be 20 years for me this year, and I still think about that day and how good I felt and what it meant. I stood in three different hospital rooms for the birth of my three kids. And you know how that was. They hand you that child for the first time. There's nothing like it. You wail up and you hold this being that's got you in it, and you realize the miracles of God. But I'll tell you, with all my heart and soul, there's never a better feeling. All kids, marriage, all those things aside, there's never a better feeling than when God uses you, your mind, your body, your soul, the words of you, to win somebody for Jesus Christ. There's no better feeling. And it doesn't matter if it's the first person you win or the last person you win. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. That's what we're meant to do. Now, you can create this opportunity. Is the first thing about this mission. You can create this mission anywhere and everywhere. If you got a family member that doesn't know Christ, all you got to do is open your mouth. God, use me. Use me. Use me for the coworker. Use me for my kids. Use me for a stranger. Use me today. Anytime, God will honor me. So you can create the opportunity for this mission. Sometimes God sends you an opportunity. You have to be ready, don't you? You didn't know it was coming. 1 Peter 3:15 touches on this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I was in my office one day, and all the ministers were gone. And it was a particularly hard week. I was dealing with some hard-hearted individual, for lack of better words. So it wasn't a great day, you know. One of the days you're like, oh, you know. And so I'm sitting there, and I get a call from the secretary downstairs at the welcome desk. And she says, Travis, you're the only one here, and we have a gentleman come in who said he needed help. So in my mindset at the time, I'm like, okay, either this gentleman really needs help, and we're going to help him, or it's going to be the complete opposite. It's going to be somebody who's going around to the churches trying to run their scam to get money. It's just, that's the way it is. It's one or the other when that happens. And so I wasn't in the best of attitudes when I went down the stairs. All right? Like I said, it was a bad day. And I went down the stairs, and the gentleman was standing there, and I shook his hand. He goes, I'm Jose, and I need some help. And I said, okay, Jose, what's going on? And he proceeds to tell me that something's not right in his spirit. Something's causing him to do things like he doesn't feel he has control over. His wife's left him. He's not in contact with his kids. And right away, I'm like, okay, are we dealing with some type of demon? Is he thinking demons in him? I mean, he's all over the place. And I'm just like, okay. And I begin to listen to him. God began to change my attitude real quick. It's the opportunity just arrived. I said, Jose, let's go sit in the sanctuary. So we sit on the back row of the sanctuary. He begins to tell me a few more things. And finally, I just said to him, I said, Jose, does anybody share with you about Jesus Christ? And he goes, well, kind of. And I said, well, tell me what they said. And he shared a few things, and it was obvious to me he hasn't been sharing the true gospel. So I took Jose right then and there down the Roman road. And he listened intently. And we got to the end. He goes, I want Jesus in my life. And we got down right there on the back row of the pew, and he accepted Christ into his heart. Let me tell you, my attitude changed. I got up. I said, Jose, I'll be right back. I'm going to go get you a Bible. I'm sure you don't have one, right? He goes, no. I said, I'll go get it for you. I'll be right back. I went out, came back in. There's no Jose. I'm like, okay, where's he at? And I look way down the auditorium, and I just slowly start walking. Jose is at the altar just like this right here, on his knees, with his hands in the air, and tears just flowing down his face. The Holy Spirit got a hold of him. And I took my Bible that I had for him, and I laid it right there. I said, Jose, I'll be right outside when you get done. No rush. Walked outside, he came out, he had a few questions. I invited him to the church, wanted to keep in touch with him, and he left. Went back up to my office. About an hour later, one of the other ministers came in. He goes, man, I came in the parking lot, and there's this guy who's up against a tree just reading his Bible aloud. And I said, does he look like this? Yeah. I said, let me tell you what just happened. And I said, you know, I'm going to go down there. As soon as I wrap this up, I'm going to go down there and talk to him again. And so I wrapped up what I was doing. It was about an hour after that, so we're talking 2 hours now. I go downstairs. I can't find him. I was like, oh, man, thank God for the opportunity. Thank you for using me, God. I get in my truck. I head down Broad Street there in Mansfield. I stop right in front of the hospital there. I look over to my right, and walking just like this with his Bible aloud is Jose, just going across, just read, smiling ear to ear because God had changed his life to what he was just 2 hours before that. Are you ready for the opportunity that God presents you? Amen. Sometimes God sends you to an opportunity. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him who they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? This is where the missions as we know it comes in. There's an opportunity for you to go. This is local. This is regional. This is national. This is global. Let me tell you, missions have always been around. But I believe it's very crucial, more than ever, that we get involved in. I don't know about this church, but I can speak for ours. A lot of the visitors we get are either somebody visiting family, somebody bringing their kids around because they didn't necessarily like the last church they visited, children's area. We get some of those. We get different people coming because they didn't like the church they were at before, so they kind of do the hop around, you know what I mean? That's who we get. Very seldom do we get the non-believer in masses. Like years ago when I was little, masses of non-believers would come to churches and sit and listen. Now I believe it's because the media has so portrayed us, the Christian church, to be bigots, to be judgmental, to be hypocritical. We don't go with the flow of the world. So when a non-believer passes a church, that's their view of it. That's why it's so important that we get outside the church and go into the community. They got to see what real Christianity is, not what some newscasters reported, not what the internet is saying. They got to see peace, joy, happiness. And the greatest of these is what? Love. And they're only going to see that if you go to them. They're not going to come and sit in the pew. And before God sends you, he equips us, doesn't he? He equips each one of us differently. As a believer, we've been given spiritual gifts. Romans 12, 6 through 8 talks about these gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. Are you good at teaching? Do you know there's mission trips to China where you can teach their leaders, their pastors, how to pastor their church, and they have to do everything underground? There's an opportunity for you if you're a teacher. Are you a doctor? Are you a dentist? There's a lot of people in other countries and our own cities that can't afford this care. Are you using that and the gifts that God gave you and the talents to help others less fortunate? Are you a good leader, a good organizer? You can put together a 5K that benefits the local FCA, that benefits the pregnancy center, crisis pregnancy center. Whatever it is, if you got those skills, you can put that together and financially help these individuals who are trying to do this good in our community. Are you good at building things? Do you know how many people meet for church each week and they only have a building? They're just out in the open. You can use the skills God gave you and using your hands to help build a church. And this might be, it's not going to be a one-time thing, it's going to be an ongoing thing. There's opportunities for that all the time for building. God gave us these individual gifts to grow the kingdom, and we should be using them. But whatever the mission is, make sure the goal for that mission is to point to Christ and nothing else. Let's say you put together, and you're an organizer, and you put together a soccer camp. Let's say you go to Oregon. The church needs help getting people, getting their name out there and getting people to want to come to church, and you bring your soccer camp. And you got one of the best guys to teach soccer. All right? So you stay there a week, you have a bunch of kids come. And they learn skills left and right. And then you leave. What did they learn? Parents are going to be talking about how good their kids are at soccer. Look at the skills they learn now. If that's what they got out of it, then the mission is a failure. When you're teaching these skills, Christ has got to be taught each and every day while you're there. Share the gospel. Soccer skills will not take them through life, but Jesus Christ will. And they'll have an eternal life. Recently, our church for the first time did a community outreach day. During this meeting, this was an outreach where we're going to go out in the community, we're going to serve at nursing homes, we're going to cut lawns. We're going to do whatever needs to be done in the community. Clean up parks, whatever it is. And before we left the meeting, one deacon stood up and says, before you do anything, make sure you share Christ, or it's all for nothing. So we remembered that as we headed out. We had 80 teams, 1,100 people show up for this and sign up for this. We had a church service for about 20 that were visiting that day, and the rest of us were gone that Sunday morning, 8 to 12, to go serve in the community. And I can't tell you the number of stories that came out of this. But one in particular happened in one of the Silver Leaf developments. It's trailer parks, and a team was there to clean up the yards and to mow the grass and weed eat and all that. And the leader showed up, he knocks on the door, and he talks to the lady named Maria. He said, Maria, we're here, we're going to clean up your yard. And it's going to look really good when we're done. And Maria goes, can I ask you something? He goes, yeah. He said, can you get rid of that shed in my yard? And he looks over at the shed, and the shed's in concrete. It's decrepit. This is a large shed. And it's dangerous to move. These aren't professionals for the most part that were doing this. And it was going to be a monster. And he looked at Maria. He said, Maria, we'll come back. We'll come back and do it. And he went, did the yards, and they had to go get all the yards done. 2 hours later, they come back, and they start sledgehammering this foundation. And now it's about 100 degrees. It's in August. It's past August. They're slamming on this concrete over and over and over, trying to get this shed down. They look over and they see Maria on the porch, and she's got tears in her eyes. And the leader's like, whoa, something's wrong. He walks over to her and said, Maria, is something wrong? He goes, I'll tell you. She goes, I'll tell you something. He said, I've told and asked many people to put that shed down. They all said they would. But y'all came back. And she couldn't believe somebody would come back and do that for her. You see, we would have never seen Maria had we not gone out into the community. And these stories happen all over the place that day. And that's the glory to God. When we're doing these acts of service, we need to take our kids and grandkids with us. They need to see what witnessing is. They need to see what helping others is. You see, if you don't watch it, your kids are going to stare into an iPhone and play games all day long. They're going to play the Xbox. They're kids. We got them in sports 24/7. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But none of it has eternal value. None of them is going to help them witness to somebody else. So we got to show them. Remember, the world they're growing up in, it's much different than ours. Ours wasn't all heavenly, you know what I mean? We had our evil when we were growing up, but look at the evil our kids are growing up in. We can't comprehend it. They're here where marijuana's legal, gay marriage is legal, it's okay. If they speak up against it, then they're outcasts, they're bigots. If they say one word, they could turn on the internet, go to YouTube and watch ISIS beheading Christians. They can't go to the theater. They can't go to a church, a college, a high school without the fear of being shot. It's rampant. Just look at the paper the last 5 weeks. There's been a shooting somewhere in the United States for the last 5 weeks. Open. This is the world our kids are in. And the Bible says, train your child in the way he should go. And when he is older, he will not depart from. If our kids are to have a chance, we got to show them and be examples of what being a Christian is all about. This past Christmas, every year we get one or two people that give a lot of money specifically to our pastor to give to those in need right before Christmas. And every year he tries to do this himself. But this year he brought us in. He said, I've been given this money. I can't physically myself pass all this out before Christmas Day. So he brought us staff members, especially us ones with kids. And he says, here's what we're going to do. I realize it's not y'all's money. I can't pass it out, but I want you to take this money, and I want your kids to bless somebody with it. I was like, all right, I'm pretty excited. So I took he gave me $300, one for each kid. They each got $100 bill. And I thought about what we were going to do. So Christmas Eve services came. We had two of them, and when they were over, we headed to the Mansfield Walmart. And I told my kids what we're going to do. So we're going to help somebody today. And I want you to be the ones to hand it to them. So I started with my oldest, Tristan. He's 10 years old. I walked in, and I started looking. And I saw a lady at the counter. She was a Spanish lady. She didn't speak much English, but I could tell she needed help. And I sent my boy over there with me, and I put him right there. And he said, I just want to give you $100. I want to teach my kids that there's more than just self. I want to teach them that Christmas is not about presents. I want them to serve today, and they're going to give you something. And Tristan gave her the $100. He said, Christmas is about Jesus, about helping people. And she just held her heart and said, gracias, gracias. Might have been all the English she knew, but she understood what was going on. So I handed the next bill to my 8-year-old boy, Taylor. And we went to the back, and we found a couple in the back of Walmart, and they were struggling. You could just see it. Should we buy this? Should we not? And I walked him over there. I gave him the exact same talk. I said, we just want to bless you today. My son's got something for you. They handed it to him. They go, for us? You're giving that to us? They couldn't believe it. And they were just so accepting of the gift. And they were humble. And I was humble. And we walked around after we talked to them. There was one more to give. And we walked around the aisle. You could hear him say, tell his wife, he goes, this is what Christmas is all about. And my kids heard it. So there was one left. It's my 6-year-old girl, Trinity. And I said, Lord, these last two have been great. But I said, can you really let my little girl and my kids really show somebody that's hurting? Show me somebody that's really hurting. And I sat there for a while. And I looked around, and all of a sudden, God sent it right before me. It was a lady in her, probably her 40s. She had a girl with her. I don't know if it was, how it was related, maybe her daughter or not. But I sat there and I watched them, and she had a list. And she was taking stuff out of her cart and putting it back because she couldn't afford it. And she put it back. You just tell she was just, man, her spirit was down. And I looked at the little girl, and she looked sad, and I'm just like, oh, Lord, here we go. I said, Trinity, this is the one we're going to go help. I walked over to the lady just like I did the other one. I said, ma'am, I want to teach my little girl about Christmas, what Christmas is all about. She has something for you to help you out. It's about Jesus. It's about helping others. I didn't even get it out of my mouth. This lady grabs me. She grabs me. And she grabs my little girl. She said, thank you so much. You don't know what this means to me. And she didn't let us go for a long time. And I hadn't cried in a long time. And I can't even speak about it now. We sit there and bawled right there in the Walmart. If it was on sale, people would have bought it, let me tell you. And when we got out in the car, my kids didn't talk about the presents they were about to open. They didn't talk about how they hoped they got this or that like they normally would. They talked about the people at Walmart that needed Jesus. And don't you know, they'll remember that the rest of their life. We got to teach our kids. The mission is simply to share the gospel. And this is only done through words, not by example. Some people tell you that, man, I'm just going to live a good life and people are going to see Christ in me and they'll come to Jesus. I don't see that in the Bible. I just don't see that. If you got it, show it to me. Because if that's true, have you ever walked out on a beautiful flower? Have you ever walked to a bed of flowers and said, man, those flowers are beautiful. You observe them. And maybe you might say, there's got to be a God that made those. But you know what those flowers are never going to be able to do? They're never going to be able to share the gospel. So if you're thinking your life and how you live, it's just going to, you're no better than the flowers. And the other thing we got to be careful of is, this is every day. The mission is every day. And we got to be careful of just going on a one-time mission trip in July. Doing a lot of good for Jesus, which is good that week. Coming home, living our lives and getting in busyness. Then when that next same mission trip comes around, we go and we give our all for the week. That's fine. But guess what? There's 51 other weeks in the year. You got to do it here before God's going to send you there and be effective. I was leaving a church the other day, it was a couple weeks ago, and they have a sign when you're headed out their back entrance, and it gave me goosebumps when I saw it. It said, welcome to the mission field. And don't you know, every time their members leave, they see that, welcome to the mission field. Now, in order to create the opportunity to witness, to be sent an opportunity to witness, to be sent to an opportunity to witness, you must accept the mission. You have a choice. Remember that Mission Impossible movies or the shows? This is your mission if you choose to accept. You got to accept the mission. What if you deny the mission? Do you remember Jonah? God said, Jonah, go preach to the Ninevites. Jonah headed this way. No, thank you, God. I deny that. And God prepared a whale. So Jonah could sit with the whale in its belly for 3 days and three nights and think about his decision not to accept the mission. And very wisely, Jonah went to Nineveh and preached the gospel. Now, why didn't Jonah want to go? Because the Ninevites were about the most evil people you could imagine. Do you realize when the Ninevites came to take over a town, that many in the town would commit suicide before they got there? The Ninevites were the modern-day ISIS. So how would you feel if God put on your heart today, we're going to send you over to the Middle East and you're going to preach to ISIS? You go, man, I might take my chance with that whale. You know? Even when we fear, God wants you to do the job. See, God could have sent anybody over to the Ninevites. He could have sent anybody he wanted to. He wanted Jonah. Why? Because he was specifically made with specific gifts that he was going to touch somebody over there in that city. See, when you deny going on a mission trip, when you deny helping ministry, when you know you should do it, God can send somebody out. But he wants you because he made you unique. I remember one time I was at a church. I was just a volunteer, and the minister called me. He's like, we need you to do this ministry. And I knew I should be doing that ministry because that fell into my spiritual gift. And I said, you know what? I got an account, and I did. I had a busy account at the time. I'd had for 13 years. And I said, I'm just too busy right now. And I dismissed it. 4 weeks later, I kid you not, that account was gone, and so was 70% of my income. And guess who 2 weeks later was in charge of that ministry? God's not going to let you go. So you better say yes right away. The Son of Man came in to seek and save the lost. You know, when he left this earth, not everybody was healed and not everybody was saved. He left all that work to his disciples who equipped others until we're here today. Many of you might have heard of Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher. And he was hard. Charles preached that fire and brimstone. He didn't mess around with anybody. And I came across a quote of his this week that fit right in. Every Christian is either a missionary or an apostle. Which are you? So if I asked you to raise your hand if you were called to a mission or to the mission field, I think we'd have 100%. If you've accepted Christ, you've been called. But I'll say this, in order to have the mission, you got to accept Christ. So if anybody's here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, I'm going to be right down here. And I'll pray with you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven by yourself. And you're not going to get through this world in any type of good manner without Jesus Christ. If you need to come down and pray, maybe you need to stand where you're at and say, Lord, forgive me for denying you in this particular area. Do that today. Wipe the slate clean. And when that opportunity comes, I pray that you take it. Maybe you just need to come down and talk to me about something else today that's on your heart. You're having a spiritual battle with, I'm going to be here and we'll have other counselors. Whatever you need to do, let the Spirit of God talk to you. In closing, I'll say this. My wife had never seen Garth Brooks. So I took her. And I like Garth Brooks, but for one really good song I like, it's The River. I'll sail my vessel, the river runs dry, like a bird upon the wind, these waters are my sky. I'll never reach my destination if I never try. So I'll sail this river, the water runs dry. I'll sail the vessel, the water runs dry. This is our vessel, but once you accept Christ, it's God's vessel. And he's going to sail you down that road, and you're going to win people for Christ if you're willing. Thank you. Come if you